pressures really strikes on the Gaza Strip leave nearly 100 Palestinians dead. The death toll from the onslaught is fast approaching 30,000. Figures show Israel has intensified the demolition of Palestinian homes in the occupied Al-Quds since the onset of its aggression on the besieged Gaza. The Yemeni army says it's targeted American vessels in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden as the U.S. and U.K. conduct fresh strikes on the country. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. The U.S.-Israeli genocidal war on Gaza is in its 142nd day with continued massive aerial and artillery strikes on the besieged strip. According to the health ministry in Gaza, Israeli attacks have killed at least 86 Palestinians in the past day. Warplanes bombed the residential block in Beit Lahia, north of Gaza, killing or injuring a number of civilians. The Israeli army, meantime, has carried out multiple aerial and artillery attacks on Al-Zeitun neighborhood south of Gaza City, with numerous victims remaining trapped under rubble. Some 29,700 people have been killed in attacks in Gaza since October 7th. Most of them are women and children. Now, moving on, more Israeli troopers have been killed in the Gaza Strip as Palestinian resistance groups fight off the occupation forces on the ground. According to the Israeli military, two personnel, one of them a commander, have been killed in the Palestinian territory since Saturday. They were killed in different incidents in southern and northern Gaza. According to the military, fighting in the south also left an Israeli officer and two troopers seriously injured. The regime has confirmed the death of 239 of its forces in Gaza since it began the incursion into the territory. Palestinian groups say that Israel is hiding the real number of the deaths of its troops in an attempt at damage control. Now, figures indicating Israel has been exploiting the global attention on the genocide in Gaza to ramp up demolition of Palestinian homes in the occupied Al-Quds. During the first 9 months of last year, Israel destroyed 97 Palestinian homes on the eastern side of the city. But since launching its deadly onslaught on Gaza in early October, it's bulldozed 87 homes. Those figures are according to Era Amim, a local non-profit organization which monitors home demolitions in Al-Quds. Activists say that Israel is trying to drive more Palestinians out of East Al-Quds. The regime is trying to justify its much-criticized practice by claiming that the houses have been built without permits. However, it's practically made it impossible for Palestinians to obtain those documents through legal discrimination. American and British fighter jets have staged fresh raids across Yemen in their fourth joint operation against the Arab country. The airstrikes hit the provinces of Sana'a, Taiz, and Hatra. Several locations, including a pesticide factory and communications networks, were targeted. The Yemeni army has, meantime, targeted American oil tanker and several warships with missiles in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. The Yemeni army says those operations will continue in response to attacks by the U.S. and the U.K. in solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza. Meantime, Tehran has denounced the latest strikes on Yemen, saying that Washington and London are seeking to escalate tensions and crises in the region. The Yemeni people are adamant in their support for Palestine despite the U.S. airstrikes on their country. They say that Yemen is fighting for Gaza and will not be affected by hostile acts by Israel's Western allies.
"Strikes will not affect us. We are now fighting for Gaza. We will not be deterred by the strikes of the Israelis and the Americans, no matter what. We are used to war. We have been in war for 9 years. The war will not harm us. It is either we achieve victory for Palestine, or we will walk on foot to Palestine to free it from the Israelis."
"Your strikes will not intimidate or scare us. We will keep on supporting Gaza with all the power that we have.
We will not be scared of the airstrikes that hit us, and we will not be frustrated. They've been striking us for 9 years, and we will not be scared. God willing, we will get victory for Gaza and Palestine."
Now Now, thousands of junior doctors in the UK have walked off their jobs. Again, it's a five-day strike, the second this year, and the 10th walkout in a year, over a long-running pay dispute with the government. Asaid Puruza reports the stalemate has left the doctors feeling demoralized, leading them to think of seeking employment abroad.
No picket lines over the weekend here, but the strike action is on. Thousands of National Health Service junior doctors, who form half of the doctors' workforce in England, walk off the job. Their demands, the same as the last time we talked to them.
Because of this erosion of pay over all this time, we've been seeing problems with staff recruitment and retention, and we've been hemorrhaging people either out of medicine completely or to other countries that are willing to recruit us and pay us basically the rates we were being paid 15 years ago. And so the message from the BMA has always been to try and get that pay back to 2008 levels.
In other words, a 35% pay rise to make up for previous below-inflation pay rises. An extra 3% on top of the average of nearly 9% received last year was being discussed before talks between the government and the BMA, the trade union for doctors, broke down in December. But the walkouts come at a cost. They're happening at a critical time of year when hospitals are especially busy dealing with the challenges of the cold season and with an NHS waiting list at a staggering 7.6 million. Over 1.3 million hospital appointments had to be rescheduled since the industrial action began over a year ago. And yet, the striking doctors continue to enjoy the support of over half of Britons.
The doctors say they're doing this to bring the government back to the negotiating table and to get it to recognize their value. They're also saying that feeling undervalued and being underpaid is pushing them to seek jobs abroad.
The BMA says 4 in 10 doctors plan to leave the NHS at the first opportunity. The government says it won't negotiate while the strikes are ongoing.
There's an overall focus on privatization, which means the health care insurance companies will be taking over many aspects of the running and resources of health. And that's led to record low wages, especially compared to a massive inflation and cost of living crisis, so that it no longer justifies the cost of training in terms of the actual remuneration. Medical students are leaving with medical school with £100,000 worth of debt, and they're not looking to pay that off for well over a decade. Whereas if they go to other countries, simply next door, Ireland or Australia, they can immediately double their wage.
The British government seems nowhere near loosening its purse strings. But the consensus is that the longer these strikes grind on, the wider the damage. Saipur is up, London.
The leaders of the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, have decided to lift the economic and financial sanctions with immediate effect on the Niger Republic. They also demand the immediate release of former president of Niger, Mohamed Bazoum. Our correspondent has details from Nigerian capital Abuja.
The summit of ECOWAS leaders, which ended in Abuja, the Nigerian capital, resolved that closure of air and land borders between ECOWAS countries and Niger is to be lifted in addition to other sanctions.
No-fly zone of all commercial flights to and from Niger is to be lifted. Suspension of all commercial and financial transactions between ECOWAS member states and Niger is to be lifted. Freezing of all service transactions, including utility services, is to be lifted. Freezing of assets of the Republic of Niger in ECOWAS central banks is to be lifted.
However, the ECOWAS meeting called for the ruling authority in Niger to provide an acceptable transition timetable to constitutional order. The ECOWAS leader said the decision to lift the sanctions was based on humanitarian considerations, especially as people are in the month of Lent and the holy month of Ramadan approaches. The meeting asked the three countries that exited the ECOWAS, that are Niger, Burkina Faso, and Mali, to reconsider the decisions in view of the benefits the countries and their citizens enjoy in the regional bloc, especially the hundreds of millions of dollars of projects and programs, notably the Food Security Reserve. The ECOWAS leaders therefore urged the three member states that exited the regional body to resort to dialogue, negotiation and mediation to address their concerns.
The authority has also instructed the president of the commission to invite Burkina Faso, Niger, Mali and Guinea to attend technical and consultative meetings of ECOWAS, as well as all security-related meetings.
The three West African countries exited the ECOWAS and established what they called the Sahel Alliance after ECOWAS resolved to condemn the military coups in the three countries and to impose sanctions on them. Experts believe that there are solutions in the medium and long terms for solving the crisis in the regional economic body.
The issues I mentioned earlier of pan-Africanism, of resource nationalism, of ensuring that people are carried along in decision-making processes, of ensuring that there is equitable distribution of resources, of ensuring that people have access to the good things of life, of ensuring that the dividends of governance is brought to the people, must be addressed.
As one of the least developed regions in the world, the Sahel faces a multitude of challenges, including poverty, food security, poor governance and insecurity. Experts say some of these challenges are a matter of great concern, not just for the Sahel, but for the whole of Africa and beyond. They also noted that skillful diplomacy must be employed in addressing the exit of the three West African regions from the ECOWAS. Danjuma Abdullahi, Abuja.
Muslims in Afghanistan have celebrated the birth anniversary of Imam Mahdi in the course of mass wedding ceremonies. We have a report on that.
The 15th of the month of Shaban in the lunar calendar holds a special occasion for Shia Muslims. This day marks the birthday anniversary of their last Imam al-Mahdi. Shia Muslims around the world commemorate the day with great passion and unique traditions. In Afghanistan's Kabul, 28 couples from different provinces are being wedded in one big ceremony on this day.
Almost a decade has passed since our center started holding mass weddings. Back then, it was rare, but since then, it turned into a tradition. Now, many cultural centers have been holding mass weddings for up to 250 couples, as we have witnessed. Thank God, people have welcomed this culture. Although this culture has economic benefits for families, but the main goal of this tradition is to establish an Islamic wedding culture.
Muhammad is one of the grooms who decided to participate in this mass wedding on this blessed day and share his happiness with many others. He says this is a way to appreciate this blessed day.
Today is a day of happiness and joy for all of us. Regardless of getting married or not, today is our Eid, the day our Messiah was born. We celebrate this day by holding the most joyous and beautiful occasion of our life and hope God may hasten the return of our Messiah.
In a unique display of joy and solidarity, Shia Muslims have been holding these heartwarming traditions to celebrate the birthday anniversary of Imam al-Mahdi. But who is Imam al-Mahdi?
Imam Mahdi is the 12th Imam of Shia Muslims and the savior of the mankind as we believe. He went into occultation in the 1870s and will eventually reappear to establish peace and justice on earth. In this case, we have a common point with Christians. As the Prophet of Islam said, when Imam Mahdi returns, Jesus Christ will also return with him and assist him in the duty of establishing peace and justice on earth. At that time, all Muslims and Christians will unite when they see their saviors united.
۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶ ۶
This joyful mass wedding serves as a reminder of the strength found in shared joy. These mass weddings are a sight to behold. Today, numerous couples, filled with love and hope, embark on a new journey together. United in their joy, they share the anticipation for the blessed return of Imam Mahdi. Abdullah Mirza, Kabul.
And millions of Iranians, including the younger ones, are celebrating the birth anniversary of Imam Mahdi, the 12th and last Shia Imam. The day is all about peace and justice. Farzan Ashurian has a report from Tehran.
People laughing and chanting while enjoying the fireworks in illuminated streets. The mass celebrations are to mark the birth anniversary of Imam Mahdi, the 12th Imam of Shia Muslims, the prophesied Redeemer, who is believed to bring peace and justice to the world. Millions of Iranian people from all walks of life hold nationwide celebration every year for the birthday of Imam Mahdi, as well as praying for his arrival to bring peace and justice to the world. Children, along with their families, are one of the main parts of the celebration. They talk about their love for Imam Mahdi and how happy they are on his birthday.
I'm here tonight to celebrate the birthday of our last Imam, as we admire him so much. I want to share my happiness with my fellow Iranians out on the street. I also pray for his return.
But they have not forgotten the children in Gaza.
Imam Mahdi's return will bring peace and people will be living in justice and the war will stop. Israel cannot kill the Palestinian children anymore.
The war in the world will end. Israel will be destroyed. The US and UK atrocities will end as well.
We came here tonight with our family and with our child to show him that we are waiting for the celebration of the return of our Imam. And we are happy on his birthday.
Imam Mahdi was born in 869 AD in Iraq. According to historical scriptures, when he was born, his father hid him from the ruler of the time who sought to dispose of him. He is believed to be still living in occultation and will rise to rid the world of tyranny. Farzan Ashuryun, Tehran.
And with that, we come to the end of this broadcast. Thank you for being with us.
Is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran while shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English programme, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, February 25th, 2024. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. And congratulations, everyone, on the birth anniversary of the last and 12th era of Prophet Muhammad, the savior of mankind, Imam Mahdi, peace upon him, who will reappear in the end times to establish the global government of peace, prosperity, and justice. Amen. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and we've received reception reports from around the world, from Harry Madhugula from India, from Bashir Ahmed from Bangladesh, and from Arthur Fernandez from Spain. Harry, Bashir, and Arthur, thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. As you may know, these reception reports enable us to provide a better service for you, dear listeners, because it helps us promote the quality of our programs. And we've received emails and letters from around the world, from Harry Madhugula from India, from Jay Hochbens from Belgium, and from Muhammad Aslam from India, which later during the program, I will read these emails and letters. Stay with us, please. What a day it is! Congratulations, everyone, on the birth anniversary of the savior of mankind, Imam Mahdi, peace upon him, who will reappear in the end times to cleanse the earth from the vestiges of corruption, exploitation, and oppression. And guess what? You may have heard the proverb, Isfahan is half of the world, which refers to the huge number of Isfahan's natural and historic sites, so that it encompasses half of the world's beauties. The magnificent mansions and palaces, marvelous bridges, unique mosques, and amazing gardens are what awaits you in the city of Isfahan in Iran. One of the most well-known features of Isfahan is Siosepol, which is the widest bridge over the Zayanderud River, connects also north and south of the city of Isfahan. The beauties of Zayanderud River have engendered building magnificent bridges in Isfahan. Siosepol's size, central location, and unique architecture have made it the most renowned and longest one among the 11 bridges in Isfahan, actually. That is a reason why you should not miss visiting Siosepol in Isfahan. So as is clear, in this edition of Listeners Special, we are going to talk about Siosepol Bridge in Isfahan. So before that, let's see Hari Madhugula from India has said. Hari has sent us a piece of email. Hari says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, my name is Hari Madhugula and I am writing to you from Hyderabad, India. I was able to receive your signals in my area. The program on air was Listeners Special and I enjoyed listening to this program. If my reception reports correspond with your session log, I should be pleased to receive your verification QSL of my reception. Please include our club address in your mailing list for sending future communications. Thanks and regards." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Hari Madhugula from India, and many thanks for writing this email to us at IRIB English Radio. It's good to hear that you were able to receive the signals of IRIB English Radio in your area. So you could catch the program Listeners Special, which is broadcast on Sundays. It's good to hear that. You know, letting us know what you think about our programs really make us happy and actually help us promote the quality of our programs. We wish you all the best. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification to this email. Hari Madhugula from India, thank you again. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So after a short break, I will be back with you. So, I was saying, you might wonder, what is the deal with the bridge's name? I mean, Siosepol. Siose in Farsi language means 33, due to the 33 arches of this bridge. And pol means bridge. So, Siosepol means 33 arches. The remarkable point about Siosepol is, it is the largest Iranian construction on water. 33 Bridge or Siosepol is not a typical bridge for people just to pass and reach their destination. It is a destination itself. It is considered as one of the greatest social and recreational centers in Isfahan too. You can roam around the pedestrian and enjoy the delightful scenery of the river and bridge. As a result, it is a great place to practice living in the moment. This amazing two-story bridge is where people go there, read poems, sing songs, and enjoy the night sky over the amazing Zayanderud River. Right, in the southern part of the Chaharbagh Avenue, they built the bridge 1602 with a length of 298 meters and a width of 14 meters long. The amazing lighting on the bridge has made it a shining spot, attracting so many visitors and tourists at night. A sidewalk on the top and another one near the water level with a ceiling are two places where people can stay still for a while and enjoy the beauties of the surrounding area. So, let's see what our listener from Belgium says. This is an email from Hodgbens. Hodgman says, "Dear IRIB, I have much pleasure in informing you that I heard your station and I hope you will be interested in my reception report. Will you please check the reception with your station log, and if correct, please verify it by your QSL verification. Many thanks for your kind attention." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Appreciations to you for this email, Jeh Hojibens from Belgium. I'm sorry if I do pronounce your name incorrectly, so let us know if I mispronounce your name. Hojibens from Belgium, of course. It's a pleasure for us to receive your reception report. Many thanks for letting us know that you were able to receive the signals of IRIB English Radio, so please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. So we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon and hearing your views about our programs. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Thank you again, Jeh Hojibens from Belgium. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and we were talking about Siyose Pol. You know, the architect of this bridge, Siyose Pol, Hossein Bano Isfahani, has picked the widest part of the bridge where water is at the lowest level. The bridge is built of stone, saruj, plaster, and brick so that it will not be broken in circumstances of high pressures and humidity. Great. See, walk on the beautiful bridge with peace of mind. There is nothing to worry about. Symmetry and repetition are the two factors of Iranian architecture and have been observed meticulously in the structure of Siyose Pol. While the Siyose Pol is a stunning example of Iran's rich architectural heritage, there are many more such marvels across Iran and Isfahan. Let me tell you one thing. Spring and fall are more suitable times to visit Siyose Pol. The best time of the day to visit Siyose Pol is evenings and nights, where you can get in the middle of local people's lives and see how they spend the leisure time singing on the bridge, reading poems, and chatting. In short, visiting Siyose Pol must be an inevitable part of your journey to Iran. There is not just the architectural masterpiece you will see, there are many untold stories and unread poems behind this bridge. You just need to pause for a few minutes and capture the transient flow of life on this bridge. Have a deep breath and pause. You will be amazed by all the beauty. So, it is right that they say Isfahan is half of the world, which refers to the huge number of Isfahan's natural and historic sites, so it encompasses half of the world beauties. Here we have an email from Muhammad Aslam from India. Let's see what Muhammad says. "Dear IRIP staff, thank you for giving a reply to your listeners. I appreciate your staff and the programs you air in shortwave every day. I'm glad that I can hear your radio since the reception is fine at my area here in India. Thank you." Salam and warmest greetings to you from Tehran, Muhammad Aslam from India, and thank you very much for writing to us. Thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Your loyalty, let us tread this path better than before. Please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Thank you again, Muhammad Aslam from India. Thank you. And here we come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. Again, congratulations on the birth anniversary of the last and 12th era of Prophet Muhammad, the savior of mankind, Imam Mahdi, peace upon him, who will reappear in the end times to cleanse the earth from the vestiges of corruption, exploitation, and oppression, and establish the global government of peace, prosperity, and justice. We had a good time together in this edition of Listeners Special. Before saying goodbye, I do again do send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of you who kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Harry Madhugula from India, Bashir Ahmad from Bangladesh, Arthur Fernandez from Spain, Muhammad Aslam from India, and Jay Hojibens from Belgium. We wish you all the best. Please keep in touch with us at IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special Program. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبَرَةً
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
نقیم الدین ولا تتفرقوا فیه.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو you who believe استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to His kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We then send our congratulatory messages to each and every one of you and all the believers throughout the world as we gather tonight to celebrate the birth anniversary of our living Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala, farajahu sharif. Salli ala Muhammad. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He hastens His return, inshallah, and that we are given enough life to witness His return as well, and that we are fortunate enough to be selected as His companions, inshallah. We have been, you know, taught from the time that we are children, from the time that we are young, it has been ingrained within us the importance of praying for the Imam of our time. Yeah, and it's not just us who've been doing this generation after generation for the past 1200 years. We've been taught to pray for the release or the faraj of our Imam alayhi salam, and also for the safety and protection of our iman, because at this time of ghaiba, being a believer is supposed to become very difficult, and we can all experience that in different ways. This praying for the Imam is something that we have been taught by the Ahlul Bayt. There are so many traditions that tell us the importance of praying for the Imam and the importance of praying for our protection. Well, it's for the sake of Tabarruk. It is said that Abdullah bin Sinan, who was a contemporary of our sixth Imam, As-Sadiq alayhi afdalu salatu wassalam, salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, who says he heard the Imam say, سَتُصِيبُكُمْ شُبْهَةٌ فَتَبْقُونَ بِلَا عَلَمٍ يُرَى وَلَا إِمَامٍ هُدَى. He says that there will come a time when matters will become very difficult. When the matters will become obscure, he actually says. You know, this obscurity is basically means that we don't know what's right anymore. You know, and I think today we're so heavily in that. You know, you'll have one scholar say something, another scholar say something. We don't know where to turn. You find a lot of people turn to IG for help, you know. But there are sources of knowledge, but we find that the sources of knowledge sometimes give us information that's conflicting to what we've always heard. This is what the Imam is talking about, obscure. Yeah, things have become obscure. And he says, and there will be left no sign for you to say what is right, what is wrong. La alamun yura. There is nothing that you can say, no, but this is the alama. Everyone is carrying an alama. Yeah, everyone is carrying a sign. We don't know where to turn to. And he says, nor will there be a leader to guide the way. La yanju minha illa man da'a bi du'a il ghariq. He says that none will be saved except for those who recite the dua of the one drowning, dua al-ghariq. This is a dua that we've been, that we are familiar with, and we should recite it. So he asks, well, how do you recite this dua of ghariq? To which the Imam alayhi salam says, Ya Allahu, Ya Rahmanu, Ya Rahim, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, Thabbit Qalbi ala Dinik. Yeah, where he says that, O Allah, O the Most Merciful, Ya muqallib al-qulub, O the one who changes the hearts. Firm, keep my heart firm on this path, he says. Thabbit qalbi ala dinik. Make my heart firm. Let it not be easily wavered. And this is an example. An example of a dua that we are encouraged to recite in this time of ghaiba. A dua to protect our faith, a dua to hasten the return of our imam. And we've been doing this for the last 1200 years. Yeah. And this is the point that I want to kind of ponder about today. You know, today I'll be speaking of things that bother my heart, you know, when it comes to this period of ghaiba. And just understand, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, we're all in the same boat in this, you know. Let's look at the concept of dua. Now think about that for a second. We've been all making dua, men and women, more pious than me, more pious than my parents have been making dua for 1200 years, right? When we make dua, there are two components of the dua that we have to understand. Yeah, the first component of dua is that this dua that we recite needs to have action that demonstrates the sincerity of my dua. Right? You understand? Like, so for example, if I pray for health, but yet I don't take care of myself, Allah is not going to give me that dua because I don't have the capacity for it. Right? If I pray for wealth, but yet I don't know how to save or budget, nor am I charitable, Allah is saying, why would I give you wealth? You're not smart with it, right? And so, that is not given to me. Why? Because within the component of dua, there has to be demonstration that we can handle what we are asking for effectively, right? And the same applies with our dua for the 12th Imam. That this is not just a verbal lip service that we are giving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there has to be action that demonstrates that I am sincere, that I want the imam back, right? This is why the concept of intidharul faraj is so important, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam salli ala ali Muhammad, in a very well-known tradition, says afdalu a'mal ummati intidhar farajillah, that the best action that my ummah can do is to actively anticipate the coming of the imam. Intidharul faraj. This intidharul faraj is not just idly sitting by saying, I'm waiting for the imam to come, the way we wait for a show to start in 2 minutes, right? Where I'm just sitting and I wait. You know, active intidhar is action-based, right? Like I gotta do work. And Allah is waiting for us to develop that, right? Like my lifestyle has to be one that is laying the groundwork for the imam to come, right? I remember our teacher gave this amazing analogy. You know, he said that imagine if you lived in a street, and I may have shared it with you, you know, but analogies are rare. He says, imagine you live in a street and there are street lamps outside. You know, we're fortunate we have street lamps. And he says, imagine like there are kids on the block who throw a rock at the street lamp and it breaks, right? Maybe a day or two later, the city of Brampton will come and will fix that light. But they'll look at us and say, hey, don't do that again. And then the kids a week later break the light again. Maybe now Brampton City will take a couple of weeks to come out and fix it. But if they break it a third time, the city of Brampton will tell us what? You got to fix it yourself. Yeah, you got to fix yourselves. And then we will come out once you demonstrate you can handle it. Allah sent us 11 lights. Yeah, 11 lights, and 11 lights were killed by the ummah. Yeah, 11 lights were treated the leaders horribly. Allah is saying, change yourselves before I send the 12th one, right? And this is our responsibility. So the first component, right, of a dua, for that dua to be answered, is action, right? And this is something that we'll park and maybe continue some other time, but I think it's clear. The second component is where I want to spend time on. Yeah, and the second component is that for a dua to be answered and viewed as being sincere, there has to be a need for what I am asking for. Yeah, there has to be a desperation, right? Anything that we ask for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Whether it is health, it's because I need to be healthy. Whether it is wealth, is because I need this money for whatever reason. I need a job, so I pray. We can make dua all the time. We make dua all the time. In fact, every salah we recite a taqibat after that, isn't it? But the moment when I'm in need, my dua changes in intensity, doesn't it? If a loved one is sick, the way I pray to God at that moment is different than I would pray when they are healthy, right? It's because need changes my intensity and sincerity of that dua.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Azim Alim Halim Hakim Mateen غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Ayatollah Khamenei's opinion on Imam Mehdi. Imam Mehdi's birth anniversary is a manifestation of optimism about the future. April 30th, 2018. The 15th of Sha'ban is the embodiment of our hopeful outlook towards the future. All the hope that we invest in something may or may not have the outcome that we hoped for. However, the hope towards the final salvation by the absolute Wali, representative of God, of the Almighty God, the Imam of the time, may God hasten his reappearance, and may our souls be sacrificed for his sake, is an inviolable hope. It is not only Shias that have made this claim. It is not only Muslims that have made this claim. All religions of the world are waiting for such a day to come. Our privilege is that we know him. We feel his existence. We believe in his existence. We speak to him. We address him. We make requests to him, and he grants us our requests. This is the difference between us and others. Others, non-Shia Muslims and non-Muslim believers, believe in something that is vague. However, this is not the case with us Shias. It is clear what we want and whom we speak to. The 15th of Shaban is a day of hope.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Seeking intercession from Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is a means for expressing obedience to God. May 10th, 2017. As for the Imam of the time, may God hasten his reappearance and God's greetings be upon him. The first point is that the great personality is the inviter to God. Looking at that great Imam alayhi salam is a way of expressing one's love for and obedience to Allah the Exalted. Greetings be upon you who invite to God and who are conversant with his signs. All matters, all prophets, all saints, all sanctities, and all pure souls who cast light on our lives, on our world, and on the entire universe are the signs and reflections of God. This is a point that should receive attention. We pay attention to the Imam of the time, alayhi salam, and we appeal and show humbleness before that great Imam, alayhi salam, so that this humbleness reaches the essence of the only one, and so that we show our obedience to Allah the Exalted.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.